try to see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can't go on? While you see it your way, run a risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. We can work it out. We can work it out. Think of what you're saying. You can get it right until you think that it's all right. Think of what I'm saying. We can work it out and get it straight or say goodnight. We can work it out. We can work it out. Life is very short and there's no time for fussing and fighting, my friend. I have always thought that it's a crime. Try to see it my way. Only time will tell if I am right or I am wrong. While you see it your way, there's a chance that we might fall apart before too long. We can work it out. We can work it out. Life is very short and there's no time for fussing and fighting, my friend. Try to see it my way. Only time will tell if I am right or I am wrong. While you see it your way, there's a chance that we might fall apart before too long. We can work it out. We can work it out.
Praise God. Thank you to that music team of Unity Minneapolis. Whew. And welcome to those that are live streaming. Thank you, God. And also for those of you that are spending your morning with us here in the sanctuary, we appreciate you all. We have some announcements this morning. Today, Dr. Larry Caldwell will be facilitating his 12 Points for Self-Help workshop at 1:30. You'll learn how to let go of the pain you have been holding on to and learn easy to find points on your body that stimulate your internal memory system to create a powerful tool for your daily health routine. Yeah. And then the Uniteens are selling, have their coffee and tea in the bookstore on sale today. And let us not forget those espresso beans, dark chocolate covered. And all the proceeds go to the teen ministry, which we all know is just such a well-deserved group. And then don't forget, this is a big red flag, no, it's a big purple flag today. Don't forget your choir concert tickets. And on May 1st, 5 p.m., there's going to be a choir concert. Tickets are on sale in the garden court between services. So, oh my gosh, we don't want to miss that one. So, many other classes and events. Please check your insert. There are a couple great classes going to start on the 4th of March. So check those out. And check your bulletin, the garden court, our website. And if you can't find the answers to some specific questions, call us here. We're here Sunday through Thursday, and we'd be happy to help you out. So, and your bulletin is yours to keep to take home. If you have your cell phone or electronic device, please, before you silence it, if you feel called to do so, check in on Facebook and let people know where you're at and let them know they're welcome here also. Thank you. So, let us get on with our service. Yes. Let's start with prayer. Let's just take in a moment. Take in a moment and breathe in that presence that we know is God. And breathe out anything not serving us in this moment. And we thank you, Spirit, for this day. this earth replenishing day. Thank you, God, for this spiritual community, all of those present and all of us that have joined us outside of the church. We thank you. We thank you for all of your gifts, Spirit, that you shower down on us every day of our life, every moment, every second. And for this, we say, thank you, God. And so it is. And so we let it be. Amen. So let's celebrate this glorious Sunday. Yay, God. Woohoo. We begin our service by affirming together our core values, vision, and mission statements. They're found in your bulletin. So let's start with our core values. Together, we are a loving, transforming, welcoming, spirit-filled, prosperous, and joy. And then our vision, centered in spirit, we celebrate a world transformed by love, peace, and compassion. And our mission, we are a vibrant, inclusive, prosperous spiritual community, inspiring and empowering full expression of the divine within through prayer, education, and tears. And I invite our on-duty prayer chaplains to please stand. Wow. Praise God. These individuals arrived early to hold sacred space for us, and they are here to pray with you for any joys, celebrations, or anything you want to pray about. They will listen with the ears of their heart and hold it in the strictest of confidence. So please, if you want to pray about something, seek one of them out. I assure you it'll be a blessing for them as well as for you. So please stand for our opening song, Nothing More. The words are in your bulletin.
You know, we've only sung this once before. You might have heard Rachel sing it along the way. It's a great song. So we're going to practice a little. We'll sing the first verse and the chorus for you. Then we're going to go back to the top. And yeah, feel free to listen or come right on in. Here we go.
To be humble, to be kind. It is a giving of the peace in our mind. To a stranger, to a friend. To give in such a way that has no end. We are love. We are one. We are how we treat each other when the day is done. We are peace. We are war. We are how we treat each other.
Top and start over.
To be humble, to be kind. It is a giving of the peace in our mind. To a stranger, to a friend. To give in such a way that has no end. We are love. We are one. We are how we treat each other. Day is done. We are peace. We are war. We are how we treat each other, nothing more. To be bold, to be brave. It is the thinking that the heart can still be saved and the darkness can come quick. Dangers in the anchor and the hanging on to it. We are love. We are one. We are how we treat each other when the day is done. We are peace. We are war. We are how we treat each other, nothing more.
Tell me what it is you see. A world that's full of endless possibilities. Heroes don't look the way they used to. They look like
like you do. We are love, we are one. We are how we treat each other when the day is done. We are peace, we are war. We are how we treat each other. We are how we treat each other, nothing more.
Thank you, and please be seated. I love the energy in the sanctuary this morning. It's always great, but maybe it's because of the rain that's coming down outside. Unity is a positive path for spiritual living, and we offer practical teachings that help us to live meaningful and healthy and prosperous lives. Unity is also an open and welcoming, inclusive community. Therefore, one of our favorite things to do here is to acknowledge our first, second, and third timers. So today, if you're with us for the first, second, or third time, we want to honor your presence here. We invite you just to take your courage in your hand and raise your hand as I raise my hand. Guests, look at these wonderful guests. Keep your hands up, please. Keep your hands up, please. Keep your hands up, please, until our ushers get to you. Keep your hands up, please, until our ushers get to you. That packet of information you're receiving tells you a lot about Unity Minneapolis. There's a card in there if you choose to fill out any part of that card and turn that in to our book desk. We have a special gift for you. The flower is a gift from our congregation so that we can easily recognize you and give you a very personal welcome. All of that's important, and yet one of the most important things that is said on this platform each and every Sunday morning is this. And that is, my dear friends, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, wherever that may be, you are welcome here. We welcome you, we bless you, and we behold the living presence of the divine within you. We also welcome those today that are streaming with us for the first time. Thank you for doing so. This morning, as I was greeting some people in our friendship hall, I always like to ask people, well, how did you hear about us? And it was so refreshing to hear someone say, I streamed with you last week. I'm here this week. That's always refreshing. Let's appreciate these marvelous guests, okay? Thank you. And of course, we enjoy greeting each other. We do it with a handshake, a hug, a smile, namaste. We ask before we hug. Let's do that right now, okay? So if you did not get a chance to speak to the person you wanted to speak with, we invite you to join us for coffee and tea today and following today's service in Friendship Hall. This next song, we're going to stand together. I want to try something different today. You know, when you get to that part of namaste, turn to someone and namaste. You know, I behold the Christ in you. I behold that presence of the divine within you. The words are simple. We can keep our head out of the bulletin if we choose to. You know, so let's just really appreciate that divine presence within each and every person today. You with me on that? And if you have a little challenge doing that, just take a breath and still do it, okay? Let's do it. You with me on that?
The
We now move deeper into spirit with the reading of the daily word and the singing of Surely the Presence. As the usher brings down the prayer box, you are invited to mentally add your prayers to the box. Your prayers are then prayed with by our prayer ministry for 7 days, and then they are forwarded to Silent Unity, where they are prayed with for an additional 30 days. The word for today is caregiver. I am blessed as I care for others and they care for me. Perhaps the most difficult job anyone can undertake is that of a caregiver. It is a full-time commitment that requires tremendous energy, confidence, and inner strength. Although challenging at times, caregiving is rewarding. Spending quality time with a loved one while sharing moments of memories is priceless. I give thanks for the caregivers I have known, parents, friends, teachers, and the roles they have played in my life. I give thanks as well for the opportunities I have had to care for others. Caregiving is an opportunity to share my love and skills in compassionate and caring ways. By giving of myself in this way, I receive unlimited joys and blessings. And from Scripture, you have granted me life and steadfast love, and your care has preserved my spirit. The word for today is caregiver.
Let us take a moment to relax. Relax in that presence that we know is God. Let us relax, let go, and let God fill our every need. We cannot be hurt by people or situations ever. Take a deep, gentle breath and release it slowly. I let go and let God fill my every need. Accept the reality that God's wisdom is ever present and available, ready to fill you with new understanding, light, and life. God is ever present, taking away the appearance of any injustices in our lives. God's light, substance, and divine activity moves in and through us as we let go. Let the presence of God dissolve your fears, doubts, and hurts, and remove every unbelief. Let go and let God within do the work. And now let us relax for a moment, resting in the presence of God as we let go and let God be God in the silence, in that sacred place within us. And now, as we return to this space in time, we let go and let God fill our every need. We let the creative process of God begin now to fill every point in our lives that need the touch of divine love and healing power. God is ready to do what we cannot do by ourselves. And so it is, and so we let it be. Amen.
You've got to give a little, take a little, and let your poor heart break a little. That's the story. That's the glory. a little. Cry a little. Just let those clouds roll by a little. That's the glory of, that's the story of love. As long as there's the two of us, we've got the world and all its charms. And when the world is through with us, we've got each other's arms. You've got to win a little, lose a little, yes, and always have the blues a little, 'cause that's the story, and that is the glory of love. That's the kind of blues I like to have a little. That one right there. Oh, as long as there's the few of us, we have got the world.
I wanted to dance. Did you want to dance? Yeah, thank you for allowing me to do so, but I'll pass right now. Thank you very much. Pete, last week when I said something about letting these jokes go, I had a couple of comments. You know, our congregation is not shy about things like that. So let me go with this one first. It was a challenging time to decide which one to go with. They're all so outstanding here. So a pastor received the following thank you note from a newlywed in his congregation. Dear pastor, I want to thank you for performing our marriage ceremony. It was beautiful the way you brought my happiness to a conclusion. Then we gotta get serious. Once upon a time in their marriage, Saul did something really stupid, and Ethel chewed him out for it. He apologized. They made up. However, from time to time, Ethel would mention what he had done. Honey, Saul finally said one day, why do you keep bringing that up? I thought your policy was forgive and forget. It is, Ethel said. I just don't want you to forget that I have forgiven and forgotten. Okay. Let's see if the lesson goes any better. We'll see. Okay, so I really like this series that we're in. You know, it's called the How To series. And I think that one of the reasons I like this series so much is because it really just reminds me of those things that we teach and those things that have changed and continue to help change my life. And I know that I'm a firm believer that those of you that are teachers, I believe that we teach what we need to learn. So obviously that is exactly what I am doing in this series, is knowing that I need to continue to learn these principles and to apply them in my life. You know, we are spiritual beings, and yet we are truly having this human experience. And in this human experience, it's kind of like where the rubber hits the road, that place that I get to practice. And I see several of you smiling because I know that the rubber hits the road right there for you as well. But if you'll remember, just take your bulletins out for a moment and look on the front cover that we've designed. This is the series that we're doing. And we've had calls about, well, why didn't you do this how-to and that how-to? And we will. We'll get around to that in this lifetime or the next. So, but we started out with praying effectively, and Reverend Jeanette kicked that series off, and it was just a beautiful way of explaining somewhat of how we pray. You know, we pray in the affirmative. We pray as if we're already on the other side of a situation. We pray in a beautiful way, and that way that we pray is really about reminding us of the truth. Reminding us that God does not need our prayers. That we're the ones that need to align ourselves with that divine energy and remind ourselves of that. And that is how we do this, through affirmative prayer. And then Reverend Patty talked about how we control our emotions. This morning as I was driving to church, it was early morning, and the rain was coming down in a beautiful way, and I had a CD on in my car from Eric Butterworth. It doesn't get any better than that. You know, it's just great. And Eric Butterworth says something to this effect. He says, you know, we are not our bodies. We have a body, and we know that, but it was nice to be reminded of that. And it's also nice to be reminded that even though at times it feels like we are our emotions, but we are not our emotions. And we, my dear friends, just as we can control our body, we can control our emotions. It takes a little practice, 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 practice. It's a lifetime thing, but we get to control those emotions. And then last week, I talked about living positive in a negative world. You know, that how this negativity just continues to bombard us. And yet we're the ones that get to make that decision that our life is going to be a positive life. We get to make that decision each and every day that we jump out of the bed. We get to decide, this is the kind of day that I am going to have. And of course, what we do, of course, is that positive world is so dependent on our inner world. We begin to change our inner world and our inner thinking and our beingness within. And as a result of that, then the outer world changes in our life. Isn't that great? Isn't that great that we can do that? that we have the power within us to co-create that in our own life. It's powerful. And so today, we are going to continue this series on how to handle hurt. You know, Reverend Jeanette referred to in her meditation, you know, at the beginning, she says, you cannot be hurt. Well, you know, in our humanness, it feels like I can be hurt sometimes, right? You know, it's like, wow, you just hurt me. You hurt me. And as Mr. Butterworth would say, you're hurt because you're hurtable. You're hurt because you're hurtable. In other words, somebody has done something. If I am hurt, it's because of my reaction to that. My reaction to that. I get to choose how I'm going to react to it. And if there's no reaction to it inside or outside, then does a hurt exist for me? No, but in my humanness, I can take it on at times. You know, the lessons are selected far in advance, as you know. And so this past week, I had sent an email to someone, and the email was intended for good. Do you know what I'm talking? Can anybody relate to that? It was intended for good. And yet, obviously, this person that received it did not feel that it was so good. And she, in a loving way, kind of responded to me. And, you know, in my humanness, the first thing I go to is not what I'm teaching you this morning. The first thing I went to was like, really? Really? What is that about? What is that about? And I was like immediately wanting to make that email and make her wrong. Anybody ever done that before? Thank you, God, I'm in good company right here this morning. But make her wrong. And, you know, then you stew a little bit about it. If you're really having a stewing day, you call somebody in, you share it with them. Tell them how bad it is, how rotten it is. And then suddenly you remember, wow, this is about me. This is not about the other person at all. This is about my reaction to it. That other person, that email, whatever the case, is acting as a mirror for what is within me. If this situation, this was not within me in some way, I would not be in that upset place in my life. So you get to pause and get to go, wow, what is this about? What is this about? And you get to kind of settle down and begin to see the other side, so to speak. We put on the other person's shoes. What was that about? As someone said to me, hurting people hurt people. So those people were, and if we are hurting sometimes, we can reach out and we can hurt other people. And especially we know this, that if the hurts that we are carrying with us, we know how they manifest. They manifest in not only in our thoughts, but they manifest in our bodies as dis-ease, and they manifest in the outer world. And as long as we hold on to these hurts, then what happens is we continue to draw more hurts to us. So the important thing is for us to take care of it as it comes up in our life. To take care of letting that hurt go, of healing that hurt. You know, I believe that not only do we have to let these hurts go, but we also have to heal them. And I think one of the first steps for me in healing a hurt is being careful about my anger. Being careful, learning to put the pause button on before I respond. Put the pause button on. Or not only put the pause button on, but just remember that sometimes my first thought is not my best thought. My first thought is not necessarily my best thought. So it's important for us to put that pause button on and realize that we do not want to react from that place of anger. Because if we do, it just creates more anger in our own life. There was a young man, a child, and he was having a problem with anger. And he would burst out, as young kids do so often, upset at his parents every day, upset at something at school. But he was really having an anger problem. And his father came to him and said, "Son, this is what I'd like for you to do. Each and every time that you have an anger, upsetness, I want you to go and take one of these nails." And he gave him a bag of nails. "And I want you to go out and I want you to drive a nail into the fence." Well, he did that. But it was effort for this size kid to drive a nail into the fence. So eventually, his anger became less and less. And eventually, he got to the point where he didn't have to put as many nails into the fence. But down the road, he ran out of nails. He came to his father and he says, "You know, I am out of nails because, you know what? I don't have the anger outburst anymore." The father says, "Well, this is what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to go back and begin taking a nail out every day that you do not have that anger outburst." So each and every day, the young man went back and he took a nail out of the fence. Soon all the nails were gone. He had had a long time without an anger outburst. He went to his father and he said, "Father," he said, "I have taken all of the nails out." The father looked at the son and said, "Well done. Great job." He took his son by the hand. He led him to the fence. And he says, "Look at the fence. Look at all of these holes in the fence. The fence will never be the same again." And he says, "This is what happens in our life. We can hurt someone, the anger of our words, and we can apologize and we can apologize, but the scar is still there." And so at that point, the young man realized the importance of containing his anger, and he looked at his father and he says, "Father, forgive me for all the holes that I have put in you." And as I read that little story, I thought, wow, isn't it wonderful that the first thing we have to do is to forgive ourselves for doing those things. In our teaching, we teach that God does not forgive, for God holds no unforgiveness. God is nothing but love. And when we forgive ourselves, then we experience that love as it flows through us. So it's important for us to confront our anger. It's important also for us to seek truth, put someone else's shoes on, seek understanding from that other person, and know that you have no idea what the other person is going through in their life. No idea. And then ask yourself, how many times have I unintentionally hurt someone? So as St. Francis would say, it is best, my dear friends, to first to understand than to be understood. It is best for us to look at that other person and know we have no idea until we've walked a mile in their shoes. We must seek truth. We must seek understanding. And to help me seek this truth and understanding is for me to know that regardless of what that person has done to me, that we are one, that Christ's presence is within them, that Christ's presence is within me, and that we are one. Seek that understanding. And the other thing that we need to do is to search for the lessons in our life. This has happened not to me, but for me. If I'm upset, what is behind that upsetness? What is behind it? It's easy just to spew and to be upset and take it no further than to the gossip corner. But what's really a challenge for me in my life is to ask those clarifying questions. Why am I upset? Am I still trying to please everybody in the world? Am I still trying to be the best little boy in the whole wide world? What is affecting me? Is it because I'm still feeling unworthy? I'm not feeling good enough? Am I trying to please all the people all the time, knowing that you cannot do that? When we look deeper in, we can see what has affected our upsetness, what has caused that upsetness in our own life. When we see that, then we can choose to respond or how we will respond in our life. An old Southern saying says, a bulldog can take down a skunk anytime, but sometimes it's just not worth the stink. Sometimes it's just not worth it. We let it go in our life. We must also be gracious and be willing, if that individual comes to us for an apology, we must be willing to accept the apology, and we must be willing to accept the love and the grace that comes with it. So often, when we are hurt, and we're hurt extremely badly, we put up these walls around us, and we say, no, I will never forgive. I will never. My friends, it is our job to accept that, to accept the apology, to accept the forgiveness in our life. And it may come from the other person, and it may not. But however it comes, from friends, from family, from support groups, accept that love, because it is love that does the healing in our life. And of course, as we talked about, it is absolutely imperative to forgive. Emily Cady, in her Lessons in Truth, says, we must forgive as we would be forgiven. To forgive does not simply mean to arrive at a place of indifference to those who do personal injury to us. I think sometimes that's one of the first places we get to, that place of indifference. And maybe that's part of our journey. That place of indifference is, I don't care. I'm going to have nothing to do with this individual. You know, out of sight, out of mind, not going to deal with it. Don't care. There's a huge difference between not caring, indifference, and forgiveness. To forgive is to give for, to give some actual, definite good in the return for the evil given. One may say, I have no one to forgive. I have not a personal enemy in the world. And yet, if under any circumstances, any kind of serve him right, serve her right thoughts spring up within you over anything that any of God's children may do or suffer, you have not yet learned how to forgive. Thank you, Dr. Cady. Wow. For me, it's important to know that I've done my forgiveness work around a situation when that person comes to my mind. And first of all, there's no charge around that person. It is neutral. And I am able to see that person surrounded by God's love and God's light without any anger within me. Then I know that my forgiveness work is done. When we hold on to our hurts, when we hold on to our hurts, we are not able to grow spiritually until we let those hurts go. And yet, some of us love to hold on to hurts. We take them in our arms, and we rock them, and we nurture our hurts. We nurture them, or we wouldn't dare let them go because they've become who we are, or we've become who they are, what it is. We become that. And who would we be without the story? Who would we be without the hurts? So we hold on to them. Eric Butterworth, again, in one of his books, I believe it's called The Universe is Calling, on his book on prayer, he tells a story about how monkeys are captured in Africa. He tells the story, and often these monkeys are captured for zoos, and they are, of course, he wrote this book many years ago. And he says that it was a very humane way of doing it. They would put large bottles on the floor of the forest, large bottles with a long neck. And in the bottle, they would put sweets and nuts in the bottle, the bottom of that bottle. And for the day, they would go back to camp and they would play cards. At the end of the day, they went back and collected their monkeys. They had created a way to catch them in a humane way. And the monkeys were screaming and yelling like monkeys do. But what had happened was the monkeys, they smelled the fruit, they smelled the nuts. They put their hand through the jar and they grabbed onto the fruit and nuts. And as they grabbed onto it and started to bring their hand out of the jar, it would not come out of the jar. There was the fist. There was the fist. All the monkey had to do in its monkey consciousness was to let go. To let go. Now, before we get to condemning of our monkey friends, sometimes we do the same thing. We put our hand in the jar. We take the nuts and the fruit. We start to let it go, and we can't get it out. So unlike monkeys, we can walk around and go about our work, dragging the jar behind us. We even come to see Reverend Pat. Or we come to see our therapist. Or we go to see our sponsor. And we come in and we sit down. And we put this jar in our lap. And we say, I got this hurt. I've got this problem. And we pray. We pray about letting go. Letting God. We're thanked. Often people will thank you. Get up. Drag their jar with them wherever they go. And then wonder why prayer does not work. God can do no more for us than God can do through us. So our job, my dear friends, is to let go of the hurt. Let go of the hurt. Drop it in the bottom of the jar. As I told this story at the first service, one woman said to me in a loving way, "That's sweet, Reverend Pat, and sometimes I want to take the jar and break it over someone's head." I said, "Yeah. I would say we still have some forgiveness work to do here, you know?" But our opportunity, my friends, is let's don't let the hurts in our life make a monkey out of us. Let them go. Your assignment this afternoon, if you choose to accept it, is to let go, let God, let the hurt go. And take your hand out of the jar, and you are free. And so it is. Amen.
To cause you any sorrow, I never meant to cause you any pain. I only wanted to one time see you laughing. I only want to see you laughing in the purple rain. Purple rain, purple rain. Oh, yeah, you better get up. Come on.
Purple rain, purple rain.
Yeah.
Purple rain, purple rain.
I only want to see you laughing in the purple rain. I never wanted to be your weekend lover. To be some kind of friend, yeah. And I could never steal you from another. It's such a shame our friendship had to end.
Purple rain, purple rain.
There you go, you sing.
Purple rain. Purple rain, purple rain.
I only want to see you underneath the purple rain. Honey, I know, I know, I know times are changing. Hey, it's time we reach out for something new. You know that means you too. Hey, yeah. You say you want a leader, but you can't seem to make up your mind. I think you better close it. Let me guide you into the purple rain.
Purple rain, purple rain.
My invitation is for us to hold Prince's family and close friends in our thoughts and prayers. I didn't grow up in Minneapolis, so I went back and did some reading about him. And he, if anyone experienced hurt growing up, that young man did, according to his bio, and yet he went ahead to change the world in so many ways. So let's take our gifts in our hand and just bless them. If you're giving your gift with someone, hold your gift together. Bless it, you have the power to bless. Giving thanks for that spiritual law of blessing, those things that we bless in our life, they increase in our life. So I will affirm our offertory blessing once, then ask you to affirm it with me and then silently. Divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. Together, divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. And now silently. Thank you, God. And today we also invite you, if you're streaming with us, to make a gift to Unity Minneapolis.
Like a river attends my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you've taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul.
So we take a moment and bless these gifts. We bless the gifts that's been received in the mail this week, the electronic mail. We bless all of these gifts, and we send them forth to fulfill our mission and vision of a transformed world, one person at a time. Thank you. Thank you, God. And so it is, and so we let it be. Amen. You feel like you've kind of been on a roller coaster this morning? It's been a great ride, hasn't it? It's just been a great, up here and down here and up here and then kind of here for a while. It's just wonderful, wonderful. So we have numerous guests today at our service on this rainy day, and we're just so grateful that you're with us. And your assignment, spiritual community, is to speak to our guest. Speak to our guest, and also to speak to someone that you do not know today. Next week, we continue this series on how to get along with troublesome people. I know you don't want to miss that. There's a formula for it, so come on back and let's be with that next week. I hear children out there. We love them, we bless them, and we bring them in. Okay, let's stand and bring them in.
Say youth and family street. See how I combined that? Family street? Youth and family ministry is looking ahead to what we're up to next. And I just recently emailed out a survey. We want to hear from parents about ideas, suggestions, etc., as we're looking ahead. So parents, please check out that email. We want your feedback. Thanks.
Thank you, Nancy. Let's appreciate these adult volunteers right here. Your dog. So let us know together our prayer for protection and our peace song. Together we know that the light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, and the presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well.
To see you cry, lying there in that position. There's things you want to hear, so turn off your tears and listen. Pain throws your heart to the ground. Love turns the whole thing around. No, it won't. But I know the heart of life is good. Oh. No, it's nothing new. Bad news never had good timing. But then the circle of your friends will defend the silver lining. Pain throws your heart to the ground. Love turns the whole thing around.
Hey.
No, it won't all go away. It should, but I know the heart of life is good. Understood, but I know the heart of love is good. I know it's 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 good.
Let's do a live repeat and fade.
I know it's good. It's good. I know it's good. Good.
Thanks to Cheryl Lake for helping us out today. Hey.